Well, I'd like to begin this evening by looking at a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And I was thinking to take from these two verses the two thoughts that come to mind primarily for tonight, and that is the Lord is our security and the Lord is our helper. And so we have these precious words, this precious promise in verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, dear young people, you're going to experience many trials and difficulties, many sorrows in life. And oh, how important it is to have that anchor, that you can anchor on to these precious promises of your eternal security in Christ and know that no matter how deep the sorrows, no matter how deep the waters are that you are called to pass through, you can claim these precious promises of the Word of God. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will be there with you. He will take you through every trial, through every tribulation. And he's right there to call upon at a moment's notice. He'll be there to help you through your difficulties and through your trials. You know, I wonder how many times the disciples thought back in their memories to those parting words of the Lord Jesus when he said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How many times when they were going through so many deep trials and the tribulations and the persecution that they experienced, and indeed some of them all the way unto martyrdom, how many times did they remember those precious words and gain strength and encouragement from those parting words of the Lord Jesus, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we can gain strength from those same words of the Lord Jesus. They apply to us as well. He's with us all the way home. He'll be with us no matter how difficult times may be in our lives, no matter what troubles we may encounter, we can count upon those precious promises as well. You know, the Lord Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Oh, the Lord Jesus isn't going to lose any of his sheep, not the ones that he paid such a high price for there on the cross. He paid that debt for our sins, and he paid it completely. And he valued us that much. He loved us that much. He loves you that much. He's not going to let you be lost. He won't let one of his sheep be lost. And he says that he will raise us up in that last day. That's the resurrection we have to look forward to. At the time of the rapture, if we are already passed on, we'll be raised up when this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. Or if we're here when the rapture occurs, it may be tonight, we'll be changed in a moment. Oh, what a wonderful promise that is. The Lord will be with us all the way till that time and for all eternity. You know, I was raised Catholic. I've told some of you this before. And as in Catholicism, you cannot be sure of your salvation. You cannot have assurance of salvation. In fact, they teach you that if you claim that you know that you're saved, if you claim that you are assured of your salvation, that's a sin. It's called the sin of presumption. They say, how presumptuous of you to say that you know you're saved. That's a sin. You shouldn't say that. But I'll never forget the day when I was 17 years old in high school, and a friend of mine shared with me the simple gospel of salvation. And he shared that verse with me that the Lord Jesus, the promise he made in John chapter 10, he said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, dear ones, when I heard that I could be saved and saved forever, and I could know I was saved, and that I could not lose it, that was the best news I had ever heard. Best news I'd ever heard, and it changed my life. It's a wonderful thing. And so when we go through these times of distress in life, and there will be distressful times, how wonderful to cling to those promises of the Lord Jesus and to anchor our soul on those promises. He will not let us down, dear ones. Now let's turn to Psalms chapter 46. Psalm 46. We are called upon to pass through many trials. And sometimes we encounter trials that are of a very urgent nature. Very urgent. And when we encounter a trial that is of a very urgent nature, we need urgent help. And in Psalm 46 and verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That expression, very present, reminds me of the nearness of the Lord's help when we really need him fast. And I can't help but think of an experience I had many years ago now when I used to have a job that required me to travel quite a bit. And I traveled in a lot of rural areas, traveled along a lot of rural highways. And I had an appointment with a client one morning in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And I'd already been doing some work in southern Missouri. So it was getting to be nighttime. I had passed over the border from southern Missouri into northern Arkansas. And now the layout of the land was flat, level, and a straight highway, a two-lane highway. I was driving a 1990 Chevrolet van, which was new at the time because that's the year this happened. And it was dark now, and it was raining. And I was traveling, I would say, about 50, 55 miles an hour on this two-lane highway. And I was aware that there was a large 18-wheel tractor-trailer rig behind me, but I didn't pay much attention to it. And I thought, in a little while, I'll be at the motel in Jonesboro because my appointment was for the next morning. So I was looking forward to the end of a long day at the motel. And as I was going along, suddenly I noticed the headlights of an oncoming vehicle passing into my lane and getting very close and moving very fast. Now, normally the first thing you would do is you would pull off onto the shoulder, wouldn't you? But this happened just as I was approaching a small bridge and the shoulder ended. And there wasn't time for me to pull over onto the shoulder. I was committed to enter the bridge, and he was entering the bridge on the other side at the same time that he was coming into my lane. And I thought that we were going to meet head on. It looked that way very much. I moved as far to the right, like up against the bridge rail, as I could get without striking it. And I sent up an emergency prayer. All I had time to say was, "Oh, Lord," because I thought I was either going to be in the presence of the Lord in a moment or I was going to be very seriously injured in a hospital because this was looking like a head-on collision at a combined speed of 100 miles an hour. I just said, "Oh, Lord," but that's all it took. He wasn't sleeping. He knew what was coming. He was ready for this situation. And the next thing I knew, we had passed each other. He broke my mirror, my driver's side mirror, and sideswiped me, scratching the side of my van. And then in a moment later, I heard a loud explosion behind me. You know what that was? The 18-wheel tractor-trailer rig that was behind me. He ran head-on into him, and it killed the driver of that. There was a red pickup truck that was coming at me, it turned out, found out later. Killed him. But I made it through. And I remember when we went back to give our account of the incident to the highway patrol in their office there, I was listening to the truck driver of the 18-wheeler tractor-trailer rig. He was explaining what happened. And I remember hearing him tell that policeman, he said, "I don't know how that van made it through." That's what he said, "I don't know how that van made it through." Well, I know how I made it through. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And he did that evening. Now turn to Psalm 42. That was an example of the Lord helping us in an urgent crisis situation. He's there to do that. But look at Psalm 42 and verse 6. "O my God, my soul is cast down within me." Well, the psalmist here is expressing a very low emotional state. And I believe, too, this is messianic. Many of these verses, this is the Spirit of Christ we have in these. And the psalmist says, "Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me." He was cast down. He was low. And going through deep distress. And sometimes, dear ones, all your trials aren't going to be an instant problem. Pray to the Lord, He answers it, and it's over. You will go through trials and difficulties that are of great length sometimes. They may last for weeks, months, maybe years. There may be anguish of soul. There may be mental anguish. There may be distress. There may be sorrows in your lives. There may be intractable difficulties. And in those kinds of trials, we also need the Lord's help. And so, read verse 11 here. Do you ever talk to yourself? That's what the psalmist is doing here. You know, usually when we see someone talking to themselves, we think, well, that's a little off, you know. Maybe something's a little wrong with that person. But that's not necessarily the case. We have here the psalmist talking to himself, and he's reasoning with himself. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." So, dear ones, we can encourage ourselves. Yes, we seek encouragement from the Lord. Yes, we hope to get encouragement from our brethren. But we can encourage ourselves as well with the Word of God. When we consider, okay, I'm going through a deeply distressful situation here, but look at all I have in Christ. Look at all the riches that are mine. Look how the end is going to be. I know it's all going to end well. So, why art thou cast down, O my soul? We can ask yourself that. Why am I so troubled? I don't need to be. Yes, this is a difficult situation, but what I have in Christ is so far greater. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Oh, God is our hope, and He will deliver us, and in the end, all will be well. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. What does countenance mean? Countenance speaks of our outward appearance, our demeanor. And often it speaks of our outward appearance and demeanor as it is a result of what's going on inside of us. So if I am sorrowful of heart, I may have a sorrowful countenance. If I'm joyful in my heart, I'll have a joyful countenance. You remember the story of King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. He decided to have this great feast and called all these people together, and they were drinking wine. And he said, bring in the vessels from the house of the Lord. So all the vessels that his father, King Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, out of Jerusalem. Belshazzar said, bring those vessels, fill them with wine, and let's drink. So they were drinking wine out of these vessels. They were taken from the temple. And I don't doubt he had a happy countenance on his face, undoubtedly. But what happened? He saw the handwriting on the wall. And when he saw the handwriting on the wall, it says his countenance was changed. And it was changed, I can just imagine, must have had a very frightened look on his face then. His countenance changed. And he was so scared and nervous that his knees smote one against another. Knees started shaking. He was shaken. So that's an example of how our countenance is a reflection of what's going on inside. And so if the Lord, God, if God is the health of my countenance, then He must have done a work on the inside. If I have a healthy countenance, I'm happy on the outside, it's because the Lord has made me happy on the inside. He's given me peace and joy on the inside. So we can count upon Him for that too, can't we? Well, I was told to keep it at no more. I just could cut it off here because I was told to keep it no more than 15 minutes. So I just want to, again, say the Lord, He is our security and He is our helper. We can anchor our soul on our eternal security, knowing that we're saved forever and that nothing that happens in this life can take away our salvation. No sorrow, no distress, not even my failures can take away my salvation. That should be an anchor to us and give us peace. And then knowing that the Lord is always there to help us, whether it's an acute crisis, urgent situation, or whether it's a long-term, drawn-out trial, the Lord is there to help us day by day and to bring us through those deep waters of trouble. He's faithful, and He will help us.